The following program is recorded content created by the Truth Network.
It's Matt Slick Live. Matt is the founder and president of the Christian Apologetics Research Ministry, found online at carm.org. When you have questions about Bible doctrines, turn to Matt Slick Live for answers. Taking your calls and responding to your questions at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
Everyone, welcome to the show. It's me, Matt Slick, and I hope you're having a good day. And if you are interested in giving me a call, all you got to do is dial 877-207-2276. We have wide open lines, so give me a call. And let's see what to talk about. I released an article about half hour to an hour ago. And might be worth some people checking out. I did some really intense research, and the article is called COVID Vaccine Effectiveness per Percentages of Infection in a Population. If you go to the CARM homepage, you can just click on it, and it'll take you to the article. And what I did was I went to some major information outlets, OurWorldInData.org and worldometers.info. What those websites do is they condense information on statistics from all over, and they put them down there. And so what I did was I found these two different websites and with information, and so I found out that the percentage of population fully vaccinated, Belgium has 71%, for example, Canada 68%. I might add some more stuff later on, but I picked 20 countries and went down to Mali, which has a 0.41% vaccination rate of the population. And it turns out, generally, not exactly, but generally, the least amount of vaccinated countries have the least amount of COVID cases. Why is that? That is an interesting question, and at the table with documentation where you can get it. I've copied the original documentation off of websites in case they change things so that you know what dates it was available. I then produced a graph, and you can see the graph information at the bottom of the article where different countries are vaccinated. And there's some slight inconsistencies. You'd think it might be more regular, but the general idea is that the more you're vaccinated, the more countries have vaccinations, generally the more COVID cases there are. Now, we have to understand something. Is it because there's more COVID cases and that's why they get more vaccinations, or is it the other way around? And so this is information that the experts would have to decide. But given that the vaccine has been out, virus has been out for a year and a half, and it's had plenty of time to propagate through populations, and vaccinations have been available all over, then the evidence suggests that the vaccinations aren't that effective. Now, this is just my opinion, and I wrote this on my website in my opinion. The effectiveness of the COVID vaccine is in doubt, and evidence would even suggest not taking the vaccine may increase COVID, or that taking the vaccine may increase COVID infections. And I also put a disclaimer on there, because this information is not for medical decisions that anyone of you would make. But I am putting it out there because people want me to research, and I have been doing a lot of research, and there's so much more to do. But I was surprised by the conclusions that I found on the information. It's not one for one exact, but you'll see if you go there and you'll check it out. Why is it that you would think that the more you're vaccinated in a country, there'd be a proportional drop in COVID cases? But that's not the case. In some places it is, but it's the minority of the cases. The majority of the countries that I looked at 20. They by far demonstrate that it's the reverse. You'd think would happen. So I'm putting that information out there, and there's more to go on. And I need to write some articles about oppression and some of the stuff that's coming on. The reason I'm focusing on this and mentioning this on a Christian radio show is that when a government starts to mandate medical procedures for people, and when that same government opens the borders up and breaks the law and lets them in all over the place, when that same government equips with $85 billion worth of weapons to the enemy in Afghanistan, when you have an elite group of people who are trying to run the country and they're doing it in violation of the Constitution, then we need to speak up, and I'm doing my part. If you want to take the vaccine, take the vaccine. I don't care. No big deal. I don't want to take it, and I don't want to be forced to take it. That's the issue. I don't want to be forced. None of their business, and that's it. Have I had chickenpox and measles vaccine? Yeah, and as a kid, I took those. As a kid, I remember them. And but that's it. Okay, so this vaccine, let's just say the evidence, this is the first hardcore evidence I've produced from looking at unrelated sources and putting the information together. And that's what I found, so you can check it out. All right? All right. Well, you can call 877-207-2276. Oh, one more quick thing before we get to the callers. I will probably, because of what I just said now, there'll probably be people who complain to YouTube, and I'll probably be suspended from YouTube or something like that, or we'd put it on Twitter, be suspended on Twitter, because it doesn't fit with the agenda. But here's the facts. I would just challenge the critics to look at the facts and look at the information. Do your own research. It took me a couple of days to gather the information, do some Excel spreadsheet, sorting and things like that, making it look good. So there you go. All right. And I got a lot more to do. I got a lot more. There's a lot more information coming. I'm going to start putting up videos. And I also modify the outline, COVID outline, a little bit in the area of oppression, which I'll be doing after the show as well. Wow, a lot of stuff happening. Let's get to Zach from Arkansas. Hey, Zach, welcome. You are on the air.
Hey, Matt. How are you today?
Doing all right, by God's grace. So what do you got, man?
Man, I got a quick question. I wanted to run first real quickly a couple quick questions that I think we agree on and that you would affirm, but just to kind of set the stage, and then I want to lay out an issue.
Sure.
I think that I see with it. You do believe that, and I'm a Reformed Baptist, just to clarify.
Sure.
But I'm new to it also. I mean,
I
started studying all this probably 2 years ago. So, I mean, I'm very green in all of it. But you would agree that the gospel has a well-meant, genuine offer even for the non-elect in it, correct?
Yeah, that's a little hard to kind of ferret out. It's general and it's authentic in that this is the obligation that they have to do. And because God is the standard of righteousness, he will say, this is what you need. And so that's true.
Right. Okay. And now this one, this is actually something that I've kind of gleaned from Martin Lloyd-Jones and some of his sermons.
Wow.
Through the
He's
book
good.
Of Romans.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, great. I loved his series. I'm actually reading through them now. But would you agree that some non-Calvinist groups, and I'm thinking more Arminian, provisionist, that the Calvinist position is that we believe that they make faith a work whenever we believe that it's a gift from God.
I wouldn't go that far.
And just to kind of summarize, Martin Lloyd-Jones, the way he laid it out was that, the law had 613 commands. And some groups would say, well, he wiped away those commands, and now in the New Testament, there's only one law you have to believe.
Not really, but so, at any rate.
Okay. So I guess my question is, we believe that faith is a gift that God gives us, that none of us have faith,
yes.
that we're depraved, that without
yeah.
that
God
gift
grants,
of God.
Yeah. That's right. He grants that we believe.
Right.
Philippians 1:29. Right.
So I guess my question is, you know, if in a lot of the conversations I've had with people, mm-hmm. they'll often say that, you know, if we believe that they're making faith a work when they say, well, this is what you got to do, and then God will save you.
Yeah, but that's no, I wouldn't say it's a work.
Yeah.
But go ahead. What's your question, though?
Yeah, so my question is, that seems like it would make that well-meant offer in the gospel to come to Christ, to believe. It seems like that would make salvation by works what the genuine offer is. Now, of course, we would agree.
Wait. Hold on. I'm just waiting for you here. I just need a question.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry. You're
Yes. What's a question?
Yeah. So that's what my question is. For the non-elect, when we're talking about a well-meant gospel offer, are we suggesting to them that they need to believe and thereby be saved by works?
No, not at all. Not at all. I didn't become a Christian when I became a Calvinist. I was a Christian before then. Arminians don't believe in that faith is a work. That's something the way the Bible describes works. It doesn't do that. So no, not at all.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, I guess that's what my only objection was, is that, you know, whenever we take the gospel and say, you are to believe, and then if we treat that as a work and not as a gift of God that God gives us.
Okay, it's not. Okay, I know that, look, I'm in the Reformed camp, have a Master's of Divinity from a Reformed seminary and a whole bit, and I can tell you that most Reformed individuals I've encountered understand quite clearly that the non-Reformed individuals don't believe that your faith is a work that you have to do in order to get saved, and therefore it's salvation by works. Not at all.
Right. I agree with that 100%. I was under the assumption that the Reformed camp believes that the non-Calvinist camp is making faith a work whenever they say it.
No.
That they do within themselves.
No, okay. I got you. I don't know who you're talking to, if you got to be careful, because people on one side often misrepresent the side of the others. That's the case. Nobody's immune from that. And so we have to understand that some Reformed writers that I've, you know, over the years and met Reformed individuals who will say, well, no, the Arminians can't be saved because they believe faith is something that they have to do in their own work, and so therefore they can't be saved. And I argue with them. I say, no, that's not true. And I go to town with them on this. You know, God grants that even Arminians believe. Okay, believes, it's because God's granted it to them. That's it. But you don't have to have perfect doctrine in order to be saved. And some people who can fall inside the Reformed camp can say, well, you have to believe these things right in order to be saved. Well, that's doctrinal regeneration. So that could be a problem that you raise against them. Okay?
Okay. Yeah, I guess it was just kind of the inquiry about, you know, the nature of faith. Is it something that we do, or is it something
we do?
We do.
Tell you what, hold on. After the break, I'll explain it, okay? Because we do believe, right? All right. Hey, folks, be right back after these messages. We have one open line. Give me a call, 877-207-2276. We'll be right back.
Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right, let's get back on the phone with Zach. Are you still there?
Yes, sir.
Okay, so let me explain how it works, okay? God grants that we have faith. That's what the Bible says, Philippians 1:29. He grants it to us. He gives it to us. Jesus says in John 6:45, or 6:65, excuse me, that no one can come to him unless it's granted from the Father. So they asked Jesus, what must we do to work the works of God? And Jesus says, this is the work of God, that you believe on whom he has sent, John 6:28-29. So we actually do believe, but we believe because God has enabled us to believe. We actually do the actual act of believing. We actually are believing. God grants that ability to us to do it. That's what it is. Okay?
Thank you very much.
You're welcome very much. All right. Well, God bless.
Okay. You too, sir.
Okay. All right. Let's get to Anthony from Kansas. Anthony, welcome. You're on the air.
Hi, Matt. How are you doing?
Doing all right. Actually, doing fine. What do you got, buddy?
Well, let me premise this first. I wonder how you would answer that question. Answer this question. As you probably heard by now, retired Episcopal Bishop John Shelby Spong died in his sleep just the other day. He was quite a fella. He claimed to be a Christian. He was an Episcopal bishop, but he denied every essential Christian doctrine.
Yeah, he's not a Christian.
One of the
right.
things he said was, right. So anyway, one of the things he said was that he believed, among other things, he believed that Judas Iscariot was, and I quote, a totally fictitious character created by the church in some odd year to take the blame for the death of Christ from the Romans to the Jews.
Yeah, Yeah, that's just ludicrous stupidity. The texts of the New Testament have Judas written in them from very, 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 very early on. There's no variance that I've ever even occurred, I've even heard of, where Judas is and is not in different manuscripts. It's a ludicrous position. Okay? It's stupid, is what it is. And it is. And I would tell him to his face, that's stupid, man. What do you believe in that for? Okay? So he
right,
knows now he's wrong.
But the same individual said, the words of the Bible are not God's words, and he just goes on and on, you know. I wonder how a man like that even got to be a bishop in the Episcopal Church, or any church for that.
Because the Episcopal Church is about as liberal as you can get. The Episcopal Church is pretty bad. The United Methodist Church is pretty bad. And so I would just say that that's why. There's a lot of churches out there. United Methodist, for example, you know, they're, I'm not saying there's not Christians in the group, but they're few and far between. And the Episcopalian Church is like that as well. So, just bad.
There's a remnant, I'm sure, in the Episcopal Church.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure there is. A remnant of people who are actually saved, like Roman Catholicism. Is official doctrine is Antichrist. Mm-hmm. But it doesn't mean that there can't be people who really are saved in Catholicism. They just don't know what it actually teaches in a lot of areas. So that's possible.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say very much, but yeah.
So
though. Okay.
Yeah, so it's just ludicrous to say that the church invented Judas Iscariot.
Yeah, that is dumb.
Yeah.
Because the issue is it in the manuscripts? Yeah. Yeah, it is. It's in Matthew, it's in Mark. You know, I'm just looking right now. Let's see, do another thing here, Judas. And, yeah, it's in Luke. I mean, come on. You know, it's just, and then in so Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Let's see. Let's do John and see if it's in John. And, yeah. Yeah.
Right.
So it's in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John.
The same individual would say, mm-hmm. right, the same individual, John Spong, said, the Gospels aren't really authoritative because they were written, quote, long after his death.
Yeah, he doesn't know what he's
same
talking
thing.
About. So one of the ways to prove this very easily is to go to the book of Acts. I'm going to do this right now. I'm going to read you the book mm-hmm. of Acts, chapter 1, verse 1 mm-hmm. and 2, and the book of Luke, 1 and 1 and 2, or something like that. And this is what it says in the book of Acts. It says, the first account I composed, Theophilus, about all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day when he was taken up to heaven. So he says, the first account I composed, Theophilus. All right? And then when you go to Luke chapter 1,
right.
Inasmuch as, verse 1, inasmuch as many have undertaken to compile an account of the things accomplished among us, etc., etc. He goes on to verse, I'm going to just skip ahead to verse 3, says, and to write it out in order, consecutive order, most excellent Theophilus. So it just demonstrates that Luke wrote the book of Acts, he wrote the book of Luke, and trivia here is that the book of Acts, the book of Luke are big books, and by number of words, Luke wrote most of the New Testament, just by more than anybody else,
mm-hmm.
just by the number of words. No big deal, but that's just trivia. All right, so this is important because Luke was written before Acts, because Acts has the first account I composed. That he's referring back to the book of Luke. The book of Acts does not contain the death of Peter or Paul. It does contain, in Acts chapter 7, the death of Stephen. Now, Peter and Paul were very important, and history tells us they died around 62, give or take a couple, 3 years, 62 A.D. So that means the book of Acts, most logically, was written before then. Let's just say 60 A.D. Okay? Book of Luke was written before that.
Mm-hmm.
So we don't know how many years. Let's just say 5 years. It could be less, you know, but let's just say five because it's easier to work with, and that makes it 55 A.D. Well, most scholars agree that Matthew was written before that. Let's just say 50 A.D. So the book of Acts is really important historically because it helps date the Gospels, because it does not contain definitive historical markers. It does not contain the death, I mean, like I said, the death of Peter and Paul. It also does not contain the destruction of Jerusalem, which was prophesied by Jesus. So the logical explanation is the book of Acts was written before these events, roughly 60 A.D., probably a little bit before, and the book of Luke before that, Matthew before that, etc. So the Gospels were not written later. It's just ignorance and stupidity from the unregenerate who pontificate, bloviate, and excoriate the truth. Okay?
Okay, the problem is, I'll let you go, but the problem is people would look at a John Shelby Spahn. Of course, he's gone now. The world looked at him and think he's brilliant.
Brilliant. Because they're ignorant. They don't know. I'm not ignorant, and I'm not insulting people. They just don't know. It's like the news media. I did a comparison today between CNN and Fox News. And I'm not saying either one is perfect, but I'll tell you, the difference between what they cover is incredible. And on the far left, I'm convinced that they don't put out all the facts. And so you can sway people's thinking based on what information you provide. And so when you don't have all the facts, you believe lies. And so this is how it is with the liberals in theology. They don't know what's going on. I mean, they know, but they don't care. And a lot of them, what they'll do is, because they have an agenda, they'll make the facts fit their agenda. This is a problem. And like I said, the book of Acts is just an easy way to refute this idea that the Gospels were written later. It's just easy. It's right there. So, okay?
Yeah, right.
All right, buddy.
Matt, thanks a lot. Keep up the good work.
Oh, man. Well, thank you. Praise God. Okay.
Yes.
All right. Let's get to Jose from Texas. Jose, welcome. You're on the air. And now we've got a break. Hey, man, we got a break. Right. I'm sorry about that. That's the timing. Hold on. I'll be right back, okay? Folks, we'll be right back after these messages. Please stay tuned.
Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
Welcome back, everybody. Let's get to Jose from Texas. Hey, Jose, welcome. You're on the air.
Hey, man, how's it going?
It's going, buddy. Going fine. What do you got, man?
Yeah, I have a question. Is Matthew chapter 25, verses 29? Well, I want to touch 29 and 30.
Uh-huh.
I'm reading from the NASB. Version it says, "For to everyone who has, more shall be given, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who does not have, even what he does have shall be taken away. Throw out the worthless slave into the outer darkness, and that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Now, my question is, as I read, you know, of course, verses 14 through 30, and you know, talk about the talents that he gives to the workers, right? So it kind of seems on the verse 30, it kind of makes that parallel with us Christians, that we have to work our salvation. It's kind of where I'm seeing it. I'm not sure exactly what.
Okay.
How can we deal with this
the parable,
verse 30, because it says about.
The parable is to the Jews, and it's covenantal as eschatological. Okay. The Jews had been given the covenantal responsibility to represent God and to prepare for the Messiah. They broke their covenantal responsibility and were judged. This is not about earning salvation or losing it. It's about the failure of the Jews to recognize Christ, and they were thrown into judgment for it.
Gotcha.
That's what it is.
Okay.
So you understand.
Okay, yeah, because I've heard, yeah.
Okay, go ahead.
No, I'm sorry. Yeah, no, the reason why I'm asking is because I heard a lot of preachers use this as a sermon to let us know that we don't, pretty much like we don't preach to the poor, or I'm sorry, we don't preach or we don't help the poor. In other words, do by works, you know, mm-hmm. then Jesus will, you know, pretty much just those gifts that he has given us, he will.
Right. I was hungry. You know, what did you need something to eat? Yeah.
So,
yeah. And that's, they're ripping those out of context.
Mm-hmm. Right. And based on those, you know, based on that, on that, they go forward and say that if we don't do this, then we will be banned because he's right.
So then the corollary of that would be, well, if you do them, then you're going to heaven, right? So you're saved by good works.
Right.
Yeah, you might as well be a Roman Catholic here or a Mormon. Okay, that's what they're saying.
Right.
Now, in the other context we're talking about in Matthew 25, it's speaking of the separation between the sheep and the goats. Mm-hmm. And true faith expresses itself in deeds of righteousness, as James says. And that's what the sheep do, not what goats do. If someone says that Matthew 25, for example, teaches salvation by works, then he's going against the rest of Scripture, which clearly speaks of the contrary. So these people who say this stuff, there's a lot of pastors out there, a lot of false teachers out there who say that you have to be good and do good works in order to be saved. They're preaching antichrist theology. They're probably not regenerate. They're probably false converts or preaching false doctrine. This is a serious thing. The Christian church needs to clean out its pulpits, and it needs to get rid of the people who are preaching heresy and idiocy. And this is some of the stuff that's being taught in a lot of pulpits across America. By people saying, if you're not good enough, you know, you got to do these good things in order to be saved. No, it's not true. No one's good enough. We're justified by faith, not by faith in anything we do, not by faith in baptism, not by faith in taking sacraments, not by faith in staying home from an X-rated movie or R-rated movie or G-rated movie, not wearing short dresses or long dresses, not speeding or not speeding, whatever. You know, that's not what saves us. It's our faith in Jesus Christ. And then because of it, and with it, we are regenerated. We're changed. And so because of that, we then do good works. But those good works are the result of our regeneration and God's work in us. They do not keep us right before God. And so to teach to the contrary what I just said is foolishness and antichrist. Okay?
Right,
there's pastors out there. So if there's a pastor listening to me right now and you're saying, well, you're wrong, man. No, then you're an antichrist. If there's a pastor or an elder out there listening to me and says, no, you've got to do good works to keep yourself saved. You got to be good. You can't do these bad things and still be saved. I'll say, you're an antichrist. That's it. Mm-hmm. That's what it is.
Okay.
Doesn't understand. Call me up and I'll teach them what the true doctrine is, and then they can figure it out from there. Okay.
Okay, yeah, because I heard this sermon, one of these sermons, I'm a Spanish speaker, by the way, and they use this sermon a lot to...
You're a what?
I'm a Spanish speaker, by the way.
Oh, Spanish speaker,
okay. I listen to a lot of Spanish, So I listen to a lot of, like, you know, Spanish preachers, and one of the topics they talked about was Matthew 25, with mm-hmm. the talent, and they're talking about if God gave us something to work out, in other words, to use.
Yeah.
For example, singing or whatever the case is, and if we don't use it, we'll be banned. So, it's still kind of iffy. So I didn't want
to. Yeah, it is iffy, and they need to repent. Tenemos carm en español si quieres leerlo, miapeak.org. Yeah, miapeak.
Okay.
MIAPIC.
Your Spanish is really good, man. I heard you speaking Spanish in Luis Carlos Reyes.
He's awesome.
Channel. Yeah. I've heard you speak Spanish. And let me tell you something. You speak really good.
No, I don't. I'm able to speak it better than I understand it. People, they'll start talking to me. I don't understand them right away. I don't understand. And I wish Luis Carlos Reyes would live with me for 2 months and just speak Spanish to me all the time so I can preach and quiero predicar en español también and, you know, enseñar. También, pero yo no sé la lengua suficiente para predicar. Okay? I said to everybody, I said I don't know the language well enough to preach. Just to get myself in trouble.
That's really good. That is very good.
Well, hey, Matt, appreciate you for the call, and
thanks for the clarification. I'll let the pastor know what, you know. Okay. I'll go back to the video and go back and just show him why he's wrong.
Yeah, I'll be glad to talk to him, you know, lovingly and patiently, and instruct him and correct him, but lovingly. You know, if the Spanish isn't good enough, we can get Luis Carlos Reyes involved, or get Carlos Garbiras from Colombia. You can translate, you know, so we can do it, all right?
Okay. All right, okay. All right, Matt. Thank you.
Okay, man.
All right, yeah, good day.
Okay, right. We'll see you. All right, let's get to Mark from Florida. Hey, Mark, welcome. You're on the air.
Hey, Matt. How you doing? I want to say on the offset, thank you very much for Monday's call. You gave me a good analogy on describing the Trinity.
Using
time.
Yeah.
Yeah, past, present, and future. Just to let you know, I'm using it now, and it's pretty effective. So you gave me a good tool. But my question is concerning Roman Catholicism. I'm actually of Italian descent. I'm American, but my family's from Italy, and there's a lot of Catholics in my family. And but they don't understand the catechism. They don't understand the theology of the Catholic Church. Mm-hmm. But I've asked them before. I said, why did Christ die on the cross? And they'll give me the answer very plainly, especially the older ones will say, for the sins, you know, very simply like that. Is it possible for someone to be, call themselves Catholic and go to Mass, but be saved?
Yeah, I believe it is possible. Yeah, I believe it is possible. When I say possible, I don't mean probable. But can there be individuals in their ignorance who are doing this and still be saved? Yes. I believe the Holy Spirit will gradually bring them out. But anyone who believes official Roman Catholic theology and then dies believing official, I have to say this clearly, official Roman Catholic theology, when they die, they'll go to hell. Because it teaches a false gospel, absolutely. But try this with your family. You know, this works.
Okay.
It works. Trying to get them to see, because they're very enculturated within the Italian culture. They probably speak.
Right.
I don't know if they speak Italian. The statues, Mary, the pomp, and everything. So just don't even look at all that. Just say, ask them, do they believe Jesus is God? They're going to have to say yes. Can Jesus hear every prayer that we offer because he's God? Yes. If you ask Jesus to forgive you of all of your sins, will he forgive you of all of your sins? Now, that's the question. Some Catholics will say yes. Some will say no. If they say yes, you say, well, then why do you need anybody else? Why do you need a priest? Can't you just go straight to Jesus when he said, come to me, all who are heavy laden, and I will give you rest? Matthew 11:28.
What is that again? I'm sorry. Cite that scripture again.
Matthew 11:28. Come to me, all who are heavy laden, and I will give you rest.
Perfect.
Jesus has come.
Because I want
to
say, I'm going to say that to them, and then cite that scripture, because I've been citing scripture to some of them that are the younger generation that are understand the Catholic theology, and maybe I can ask you this. You can critique me, but I've presented the gospel to them because they. They have a belief in the Trinity. They don't deny the Trinity. They understand God, Jesus, the God-man. But the gospel portion of it,
they
true salvation, I'll present.
Right.
And I'll say to them, look, I put my full trust
there's the break.
In a work. Oh, okay.
The work of Christ, yeah. I'm with you. I got
right.
you. Hold on. We'll be right back after the break, okay? Hey, folks, sorry about that. Good stuff he was saying there, but there's the break. We'll be right back after these messages. Please stay tuned.
Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right, well, welcome back to the show, and there we go. Hey, welcome back, Mark. Okay. So,
okay. Where were we? I was just saying that, I present it to them. I say, look, there is a work, but it's not anything, any work that you can do. It's the finished work of Christ on the cross.
Christ's work.
And Christ's finished work, that's that's what saves us. And
am I saying that right? Yeah,
that,
you're fine. You're fine. Tell him not to take credit for what Jesus accomplished. Jesus accomplished our salvation, and he grants that we have faith, Philippians 1:29. And what God grants us is sufficient. So we're justified by faith, Romans 5:1. Done. And so you don't need
Romans
your priest.
Romans 5:1.
Yeah, Romans 5:1, Romans 3:28, Romans 4:5, Galatians 2:16, 2:21. Got all these verses on
how about Ephesians 2:8, 9?
Yeah, you're saved by grace through faith. That's all you can do. No, that's wrong.
Okay.
Yeah. I've quoted the Book of Mormon so many times. I sometimes quote instead of Ephesians 2:8 and 9, which it's in 2 Nephi 25:23, which says you're saved by grace through faith after all you can do. And it's just, you know, the same thing as Catholicism and Eastern Orthodoxy and Jehovah's Witnesses and, you know, salvation by works is what it is. So,
Can I present that the same way to Jehovah's Witnesses too?
Yeah, slight variations, but yeah. You know, it's the same gospel.
Okay.
Everyone needs the same gospel, that we are made right before God, our sins are forgiven before God by faith only, in Christ's work only. Our good works are touched by sin and are never good enough for the infinitely holy God, which is why Jesus, God in flesh, had to do what we could not. He kept the law perfectly, we could not. He bore our sins in his body, he died with them, he paid the price of the law, the penalty of the law, which is death for sin. He rose from the dead, conquering that, proving that his sacrifice was sufficient. And all we have to do is ask Jesus to forgive us of all of our sins. Jesus Christ, God in flesh. Trust in him alone, and that's what it is. All right?
Amen. Thank you.
All right, buddy. God bless.
Bye-bye.
All right, let's get to Ryan from Pennsylvania. Ryan, welcome. You're on the air.
Thank you, Matt, and once again, I appreciate you inviting me to call back anytime. Mm-hmm. I was reading your article about COVID, and I have been seeing a lot of articles that are saying that the Idaho hospitals are overwhelmed with unvaccinated COVID patients. Do you know if that's true?
I've heard it, but people I know who work there aren't saying that.
Also, the Alabama governor recently said that the pandemic in Alabama is a pandemic of the unvaccinated. Do you know if that's true?
Yeah, it's just propaganda. Yeah. So what's your question?
Okay. My last question is, was the attack on the Capitol on January 6th, was that done by Trump supporters?
I don't know. I didn't interview all of them. How would I know?
You know that it's true, and you're pleading ignorance. You're lying through your teeth. Thank you very much.
See, here's the problem with this guy. He comes on every now and then, and he just made a logic mistake. He thinks he's smart, but he's not. He said, were they Trump supporters? The question is insufficient. Notice I said, interview all of them. Are all of them Trump supporters, or are all of them not Trump supporters, or were some Trump supporters and some not? To say that some were and to say they imply that they all were would be inaccurate. But this guy didn't catch that. Then he called me a liar. He's the guy who couldn't think his way out of a wet paper bag. All right, so let's get to Alberto from Georgia. Alberto, welcome. You're on the air.
Yes, good evening, Matt Slick. The Bible says that God dwells in unapproachable light. Now, I thought that God is omnipresent, so how can God dwell in a particular place if he's omnipresent?
Well, it doesn't... You got... There's noise in the background. It's difficult when I'm hearing other voices.
I said that God dwells in unapproachable
light.
I got that.
No, I get distracted by
presence.
Okay,
so
I'm gonna put you on
hold.
Hold on, hold on.
Particular place.
Let me answer the question. I have to put him on hold because I get distracted by sounds in the background of voices and things like that. So to say that he dwells in unapproachable light does not mean that he's not omnipresent. The Bible just says he dwells in unapproachable light. And it just says that. So that's what we believe. We don't know what that means or how the light extensiveness is in the universe or what place, how, where, what. I don't know. And we don't know what it means for God to dwell everywhere all the time. So we can't answer the question. Because we can't answer the question, we don't know how... we cannot then say it's a problem or a contradiction in any way. Okay, you with me, Alberto?
Yeah, okay, I understand what you're saying. All right. Yeah, so we can't. It's not. So nobody can really explain the deep things of God. But although the Bible says that God, the Holy Spirit knows the mind of God and the deep things of God, but the Holy Spirit dwells inside of us, and God wants us to know Him, intimately and everything. So why can the Holy Spirit reveal these things to us?
He does reveal. When you study the Word intently, He rewards those who diligently seek Him, and so you do that. Okay. All right.
Okay. Now, my other question is too. Is talking about the gentleman, about the Catholic Church. I dealt with you and all that, and that happens a lot too in the Pentecostal churches. Because I used to go to 10 years of the Church of God, a Kingdom Tennessee organization, and they teach salvation by works too, by performance and all that. And the pastors, two different pastors said that God told them the percentage of people will stay behind if the Lord comes that day, because they're not living right. So that's heresy, ain't it?
Right, yeah. You're not raptured because you're good. You're raptured because you're a Christian. Christians have different levels of obedience to Christ. And because of that, they'll be judged accordingly, but not for salvation, but for reward or loss of reward in heaven.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Okay. Thank you, sir. God bless you. Keep it a great word.
Thanks, Alberto. God bless, man. Okay. All right, let's get to Jaden from Idaho. Hey, Jaden, welcome. You're on the air. Hello?
Oh, hello.
Hi.
Hi.
Hi. So what do you got?
I was wondering what the Bible said on the other planets, because it only mentions heaven and the stars and the moon and the earth and the sun.
I haven't
seen anything else about the other planets.
It considers the planets part of the second heaven. The first heaven is where the wind and rain come from, the clouds and things like that. And the second heaven is the things we see in the night sky, or even in the day, the sun, the moon, the stars, and the planets. They didn't know about the planets necessarily, but actually they kind of did, because Mars they knew about, and Venus they knew about, and other planets that they could see move. And I think they called them wandering stars. And so they were aware of them. They just didn't really think of it in the terms we do. Okay?
Okay. I don't really understand still, though.
Well, it's just... it's how they thought back then. They didn't think of planets the way we do. Not necessarily. So they would see, all they would see is a star that didn't move and a star that did move. And they called the stars that did move, some called them planets. They gave them these words. Why is that star moving? Why is that point of light moving? To them, it was just points of light. They called them stars. They called them planets.
Do you really think all the planets are there, though, is my question. I didn't know the Bible didn't mention the other planets, really, I saw. So I was wondering if they were really there or not.
The planets are there. The Bible doesn't mention galaxies either, but they're there.
Why do you think they were there?
Because God put them there.
What do you think they're there
for? Oh, because the universe needs to be as big as it is for the glory of God and for what's called the anthropic principle, so that we can live here in this world. Okay.
Okay.
All right. Okay, Jaden? Okay. Okay. Well, God bless. Okay. God bless. Okay, let's get to Pearl from Rockville, Virginia. Hey, welcome. You are on the air.
Sir, I called you yesterday, and we ran out of time.
Okay.
Would you please give me your definition? I highly regard your definitions, because you are... to the heart of it. If it's in God's word, I believe it, and if it's not, I don't. I love that.
Okay.
Could you please tell me what your definition of God making man in His image means?
Mm-hmm. I can. All right. So.
Could you?
Yes. In theology, there are attributes of God. Some of the attributes are designated as incommunicable, and the other are designated as communicable. The incommunicable attributes are, for example, God's omniscience, his omnipotence, his omnipresence. These are incommunicable because what that means is they cannot be communicated to us. They cannot be given to us. We don't participate in God's omniscience, omnipotence, omnipresence.
Absolutely, I totally agree with you.
Okay. The communicable attributes are those attributes of God that can be communicated to us. God loves, we can love. God thinks, we can think. God reasons, we can reason. God shows mercy, we can show mercy. And so these are the attributes of God that are communicated to us. And those are the areas where we would say we're made in the image of God. Because Jesus says in John 4:24, God is spirit. In Luke 24:39, he says that a spirit does not have flesh and bones. You see that he has. So we know what spirit is not. Not that we know what it is. But nevertheless, God is spirit. And so the image of God is not with hands and feet. That's the cults do that one. But the image of God rather are the communicable attributes, his reasoning, his love. He can hate and we can hate too. He judges, he shows mercy. We can do these things too. And so those are the kinds of things that are communicated to God, and that's what it means to be made in his image.
Okay. Well, sir, let me ask you this.
Mm-hmm.
When God says that, well, he is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
He is one, and he manifests himself in three different personalities. I don't know whether
Is that right? Close. We don't say personalities. In theology, we say persons, because the word person has...
All right. I'm glad you corrected me. Persons.
Yeah, persons. It has a theological significance.
Okay. Just tell me right off if I'm wrong here. I was reading in God's Word one day, and I've forgotten where it is. It's in the Old Testament, and it says there that my arms, God Almighty speaking, shall judge the people.
Okay.
And it's, you know what that said to me? That said that the Lord Jesus Christ is God's arms. Is that wrong?
I wouldn't say he's God's arms, because God doesn't have arms. God the Father does not. Only Jesus does, because would you say
that the Lord Jesus is the arms of God? He
I wouldn't say that.
We're
out of time. Pearl, sorry, there's the break. I mean, we're at the end of the show. Sorry, gotta go. Call back tomorrow, okay?
Okay,
we can
thank
talk
you.
About it some more. Okay, sorry about that, Pearl. All right, God bless. Okay, she's a sweetie. Hey, folks, there you go. We're out of time. May the Lord bless you, and by his grace, we'll be back on there tomorrow, and we'll talk to you then. We'll see you. God bless. Bye.
Another program powered by the Truth Network.